we may turn and consider that the Lord will enable us, words you will find in the heart of God's word read, the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and we may read at verse 10. The 10th verse of the 12th chapter of Zechariah, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. We have brought before us here part of the prophecy that Zechariah was sent to declare to the people to stir up those who had returned from the captivity of Babylon to continue the building of the temple, or in the time appointed of God after the captivity of 70 years, the word went forth through the heathen king that then reigned, that the those who were minded to return, that they should go up to Jerusalem. We are told now in the end of 2 Chronicles, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So that there were those who went up to Jerusalem at that time, and they laid the foundation of the temple. But their enemies were opposed to them, and they sought to bring to an end the building of the temple. And at last they succeeded in bringing the work to a halt for a considerable number of years. It was in the time of Artaxerxes. It was not resumed until a later period, when the Lord sent Zechariah and Haggai and Malachi also, to stir up the people to continue with the building of the temple, the Lord promising that he would be with them. As we find that brought before us in the prophecy of Haggai, when the prophet said to them, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? It built houses for themselves, but the house of God was still lying waste. And he told them, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. It was to this end then that Haggai and Zechariah were sent to prophesy to this people for the building up and the establishment of the house of God in Jerusalem once more, after it had lain desolate for 70 years during the captivity, and for another period when the work was brought to a halt. Now the time had come for the house of God to be restored. Therefore, these prophets were sent to stir up the people. And they were successful also in the work to which the Lord sent them. No doubt what we have brought before us here has a fulfillment in connection with the restoration of the temple in Jerusalem and the blessing that followed for that people. And we find that is set before us in the connection with the work of Nehemiah and Ezra. But this part of God's word has a greater fulfillment yet. Whatever joy and gladness, whatever mourning over the sin there was in the time of this prophet and others like-minded with him, yet a greater day of blessing to the house of Israel is promised, that is, to the Jewish nation, when the Lord will look upon them once more in his mercy. That nation that has so long despised and rejected its own Messiah. It is very clear from the New Testament scriptures that the time is coming when this people who have been so long rejectors of their own Messiah, that they shall be brought in, that by the mighty power of God. That was the testimony of the apostle, that such a time would come. He himself had to say, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forevermore. And the same apostle in writing to the Romans went on to say, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. He said, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And he went on to testify of that time that would come when the Lord would bring them in. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, far to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. This promise is given then of a time when the Jewish nation shall be gathered in to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is foretold in this portion of God's word. First of all, in connection with this taking place, how it is that it is to come about, that is given to us in the words, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Then secondly, the effect that that shall have upon this people. These are the effects for they are twofold. One is they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And the Spirit is poured out from on high. They shall look to that one whom they have pierced. And then the second effect will be they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And the whole of the rest of this chapter is taken up with that day of mourning that shall be in amongst the Jews when they shall come to realize how long they have despised and rejected their Savior and their Deliverer. Then, last of all, what provision there will be made for them in that day? That is the fountain opened. We have it in the beginning of the 13th verse. A fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And in considering these matters, we are to remember that as this is how it shall be. In the case of the Jews as a people, when they are brought in to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, so it is with regard to every individual soul brought out of Satan's dark kingdom. It is brought about in exactly the same way, through the Lord pouring out upon such the spirit of grace and of supplication. And it is then that these other things follow, that they look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they mourn over their sin, and that they find a place of refuge and security under the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Let us notice then, first of all, what the prophet had to say. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This city where the Lord had put his name, for it was separated from all other cities of Israel to be a place where the worship and the service of the Lord would be. And the Lord set David, his king, over his holy hill of Zion. And while that was true with regard to the Israel of God, so it is in connection with the church of God. God has his dwelling place in his church, and it is there that he manifests himself, there he makes himself known. Here the Lord was promising to pour upon the house of David, the royal house of David, and the inhabitants are his successors, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, those who dwelt in this city, this blessing of the Spirit of grace and of supplication, as the Lord is to do in that day when he will pour his Spirit forth upon a Jew and upon a Gentile, as he did upon the Gentile nations on the day of Pentecost. For that day is marked in the history of the Christian church as the day when the Lord began in a very manifest way to pour out his Spirit upon the New Testament church. That following upon the ascension of the divine Redeemer to the right hand of power. But with regard to Israel, this was their great need. As far as their return from Babylon was concerned, that was the result of their sin and their backsliding from God. Now they were to return to their God. Therefore the Lord graciously met with them and gave them another heart and another mind. For without that, all would be vain. Ezekiel, the prophet, had also to testify of this time for this people. And the Lord would visit them in his mercy. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It was through the blessing of the Lord poured out from on high. That is how it is to be when the Jews shall be gathered in. It will be the effect of the pouring out upon the Jewish nation, upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Spirit of grace and of supplication. That is what brought about the beginning of that blessed era in the history of the Christian church, when the Spirit was poured out from on high. And that is what will bring a time of Pentecostal blessing to Jew and to Gentile alike. In the last days, the Spirit will be poured out from on high. That means in a more abundant measure than the Spirit of God has been poured out. For it is very evident, say in our own day, that the Spirit of God has been grieved away. That through the sin and rebellion of those nations that once professed the worship of the living and true God. We as a nation ourselves are verily guilty before God on this ground that we have forsaken the fountain of living water. We have forsaken the one living and true God. Because of that, the Spirit of God has been grieved away. There can be no remedy until the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon the nation again, the Spirit of grace and of supplication. That is what is to bring about the great change that will take place when the Jews, still at enmity to Jesus Christ, will come to recognize in him their own Messiah. It is impossible for any soul to come to a saving knowledge of the truth apart from this blessing, the blessing of the Spirit of grace and of supplications being poured out upon them. Because this work is given into the hand of God the Holy Ghost, the work of the application of redemption to the souls of men, that is the prerogative of the third person of the glorious Trinity, the one who is very God of very God, God the Holy Ghost. It requires the work of a divine person to bring one soul to a saving knowledge of the truth. The Spirit must be poured out from on high. The Holy Spirit must come and take to do with a poor sinner in this world, if that sinner is ever to be brought to repentance. And it is very evident then in our day that this is our unspeakable need as a people, as a land, and as a nation, say, of the earth, that the Spirit of God would be poured out from on high, that the Lord would be pleased in infinite mercy and love, not to withhold his hand in this way, but in his rich grace and mercy and love to pour out his Spirit upon his church and upon his cause and upon the nations of the world. And it is not until then, when the Spirit is poured out upon the nations of the world, that the nations of the world will learn war no more. Then they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. But the nations in our day are blind to the glory of the divine Redeemer. They do not recognize that it is their despising and rejection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, their despising of the one who is King of Nations, that is what is withholding the blessing from them. That is why there is blood shed, that is why there is violence abroad in the earth. Because men will not own the one who is Prince of Peace. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, when the Spirit of God is grieved away by the sin and the rebellion of a backsliding people or a nation. It is another thing for that blessing to be restored. It is in the sovereign goodness and the love of God. When that blessing is restored, men can do nothing to merit what is a sovereign blessing, pouring out of the Spirit of God upon any place. Men may try to work up revival, but revivals cannot be worked up. They must come down from heaven. The Spirit must be poured out from above. So far as the Church of God is concerned, the Church of God conscious of the Lord's withholding of His Spirit, it is the duty of the Church to plead with the Lord to pour out His Spirit in His mercy and in His love. Not until the Lord will do this in His sovereign love can we expect to see a change in a nation or amongst the people. This alone can bring awakening and reviving power to the souls and consciences of men. The Lord says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and of supplication. These are the great blessings that the Spirit of grace and of supplication conveys when He will come. That is the riches of divine grace and mercy and love. He is the one who alone can break the hard hearts of sinners, melt poor sinners down under a sense of their sin and of their guilt, bring them to supplicate to the God of heaven. He would show mercy to them. That time is promised here in connection with this people, the Jewish nation, when the Lord, in His love and in His sovereign goodness, will do this. He will pour out His Spirit. But the question for us is the obtaining of this blessing for our own needy soul, for as nations and communities need the outpouring of the Spirit of God, we as individuals need this blessing for ourselves, that the Lord would visit us individually, that in a day of His grace, in a day of His mercy, with His Spirit, and that in awakening grace and in converting grace, and to His Church in reviving grace. That ought to be our concern, that the Lord would visit our own souls with a day of His power. He would turn us in His mercy from our sin and from our backsliding, and that He would effect that by an abundant outpouring of His Spirit upon us as individuals and upon His Church in the world and upon the nations of the earth. I will pour, He says, upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and of supplication. Let us see, notice then what effects shall follow where God is pleased to pour His Spirit forth. They shall look here to see unto me whom they have pierced. That was the first effect of the outpouring of the Spirit of grace and of supplication. That is true in the experience of the individual soul, the work of the Holy Spirit in the awakening grace, bringing a soul to look to the one whom they have pierced. This is what a poor sinner comes to understand, whose eyes are lifted up to behold the slain Lamb of God. What the experience in that day is this: my sins have crucified the Lord of glory, put him to an open shame. They see in the sufferings of the Lamb one suffering in their room and in their stead, bearing the wrath and curse of God in their place, so that it is their sins which have pierced him. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. There is no deliverance for any sinner apart from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith that is saving is faith that is of the operation of the Spirit of God. Therefore, how necessary is the work of the Holy Ghost poured out from on high, ere a poor sinner will look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, by a faith begotten by the Spirit of God in that soul. And how desperate the state of man is where the Spirit of God has withdrawn, and where his working is no longer evident as it once was. That is a calamity upon a people, upon a nation, upon a church, when the Spirit of God is denied, when the Spirit of God is not being poured out as it was in other days. What a day at Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were turned from darkness to light. What a day of the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Scotland at Kirk of Shott, and it is reckoned 300 or 400 souls were turned. That day, that one preaching of the glorious gospel turned from darkness to light because the Spirit was poured out from on high. And on other occasions in our beloved land, and the Lord was pleased to refresh his weary heritage. And even when the Church of God in our land was hounded upon the mountains and moors of Scotland, they could testify that even in such a time, the Lord graciously manifested his power amongst them. That is what our land and what the Church of God in our land need. What do we need ourselves as a people and as a denomination? That is what we need as a congregation, that the Spirit would be poured out from on high, so that poor sinners would be brought to realize that their sins have pierced to the Lamb of God. They would be brought to look to the one whom they have pierced. By their sin, rebellion, and rejection, and backsliding, they shall look upon me. The eyes of the soul turned from every other hope and every other refuge to Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb of God, the one who was crucified between two malefactors, who is now the risen, the glorified one at God's right hand. And the Spirit, the work of the Spirit of God is to take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. But if the Spirit of God has withdrawn, he is not manifesting his power as in other days, then how can we be led into the things of God, seeing it is his prerogative so to do, to lead poor sinners into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead poor sinners into the knowledge of themselves, of their sin and their guilt, and of their great need of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. No greater calamity can overtake a nation than the Lord to withdraw his presence and power in this way from any people. And over that, we have reason to mourn, because, see, the Lord has, see, to such a large extent, withdrawn his spirit from our land, as we have gone on in our sin and in our rebellion against him. The second effect is this mourning that is spoken of. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. What a piercing is sorrow, as one mourneth for his only son. What a bitterness, as one mourneth for his firstborn. What a grief of soul is this, and so it is to be in this day. The sorrow of this people, the grief of this people, when they are smitten at heart because of their sin. That he was brought home upon this people when they returned from the captivity. They were brought to see their sin and their error, and their guilt and their depravity. That was what was brought upon the Jerusalem sinners in the day of Pentecost, that they had pierced the Lamb of God. They had to cry out, "Men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do to be saved?" So too with regard to a poor sinner, so too with regard to the Jewish nation, when as a people and as a nation, they shall be brought to see that they have continued now almost 2,000 years in rejection of the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And all the curses of the law have been fulfilled in them as a people and as a nation, as they were warned by Moses that if they would forsake the Lord their God. Therefore, in their rejection of the Messiah, they have brought upon themselves untold misery. What miseries they have known as a people, even in the last 50 years or so. What troubles, what persecutions they have endured. Yet that has not brought them to the feet of Emmanuel. That time is coming when the Spirit will be poured out from on high, and they shall look to this smitten Lamb of God, and shall they see in him the one who is the sin-bearer, the true Paschal Lamb. When in seeing him they shall be smitten at heart, as they look to the pierced one, and they shall mourn and mourn with a bitterness that shall be heard from one end of the earth to the other. As one said, when the brethren of Joseph were restored to the favor of Joseph in Egypt, their weeping was heard throughout the house of Pharaoh, and the rejoicing of. So it shall be when this nation is restored, that weeping and the rejoicing shall be heard from one end of the earth to the other. The mourning of that time is to be, as we see here, a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon. That is the mourning that took place over the death of godly King Josiah. That was a terrible event for the kingdom of Judah when godly King Josiah was killed in battle. For he had instituted a reformation of religion. And because of that, the Lord withheld the casting off of this people into captivity for a season. These things were not to take place now until after the death of this godly king Josiah, so that when he was killed in battle, it brought the day of calamity near. They mourned over such a king as this, one who feared the Lord, who was eminent for godliness in his day and in his generation. And they had to mourn over his removal from their midst. And so it was a mourning such as that was to take place and is to take place in Israel, when Israel will look to the Messiah. We are told the land shall mourn, every family apart, everyone shall mourn, each family, the wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of David apart, the kingly house and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan, the prophet dear, they shall mourn. The prophets in that day and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi, the priestly house and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart and their wives apart, where the teachers are instructed. So it shall be in that day, all the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. What is brought before us here is not a mere outward mourning. It is an inward brokenness of heart and of spirit and of soul that shall be engendered in that day when they shall look to the one whom they have pierced. They shall be smitten at heart. It is not a mourning that the Lord would not accept. As we find the Lord rejecting such a mourning, he had to say to others, because their fasting and their mourning was not aright, he had to say to them, behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure. Exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. That was only outward fasting. The Lord was asking them, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A true fast was a day for a man to afflict his soul. Not just to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Lord, we sing, wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? But to the fast of this day, the morning of this day, was that true mourning, that heart smitten mourning, that is found wherever a soul looks by faith to the smitten Lamb of God. Beholding by faith the smitten Lamb of God, that brings the soul to brokenness of spirit, to heart sorrow for sin, to heart grief over the sinner's rebellion. So it will be, so it is with individuals, and so it shall be in that day with the Jews when they shall look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the smitten Lamb of God, the one concerning whom they said, away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. We must notice last of all the provision that is made for such a day. And that is, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Where is the soul, where is a nation, where is a people to find any remedy when they have crucified the Lord of glory? In the very one who suffered and who died on Calvary and has poured out blood upon the accursed tree, for his body was broken and his blood was shed for the remission of the sins of men. And it is in that smitten Lamb of God that the soul will find a refuge, a resting place, where the soul will find comfort and consolation under the shelter of the blood that was shed on Calvary. That blood applied to the guilty soul will speak peace, peace between God, peace between the soul and God, peace between the soul and heaven. A rebel reconciled to God through the blood of the cross, an enemy made reconciled to God and made a friend of God, made a child of God and an heir of everlasting life. As it will be in the outpouring of the Spirit upon the Jewish nation, what eminent followers of Christ there will be then amongst the Jewish nation, how they shall shine forth then in their glory and strength, as they have had so long the Old Testament scriptures, and these are read in their synagogues from Sabbath to Sabbath. But when light shall break upon these and the New Testament scriptures break in upon their heart, then how glorious they shall be in that day, what service they shall render unto the mighty God of Jacob. So long cast off 2,000 years, oh, with what desire, with what longing shall they serve the Lord their God? How the name of Christ will be glorified in the earth then. And all nations shall acknowledge that they are blessed of the Lord indeed. They will be a nation then whom the Lord hath blessed. Oh, what injury they have done to their own Messiah. They would not name his very name or take up his very name in their lips because of the hatred they have borne to him. But in that day, how precious the name of Christ shall be, how precious the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. to this people who have so long rejected him, how precious his shed blood, the shed blood of Emmanuel, under which they have now come, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanses us from all sin. That is to take place in that time appointed of the Lord, when the Lord will pour his Spirit forth upon them. But what ought to concern us is that we ourselves, having the gospel now, having Christ set before us in that gospel as the one remedy for our sin and for our guilt, we would betake ourselves to the fountain that is opened for sin and for uncleanness, to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That is what will meet the needs of everyone here, the greatest sinner on the face of the earth, Jerusalem sinners, where to receive the first overtures of peace. So it is with regard to us. There is a provision in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a need then that God would pour out his Spirit upon us, that we would be led into the wonders of his redeeming love, that we would be brought each one to repent, to grieve over our sin and our backsliding, that the days promised would be fulfilled, when the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and all the nations of the world shall do him service. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. O Lord, do thou bless to us thine own holy word, bring us to know our unspeakable need of the word of thy Holy Spirit in our heart. Do thou send thy Holy Spirit amongst us to this end. We acknowledge that we have grieved him away by our sin and by our backsliding. But for the sake of thy beloved Son, do thou be pleased to pour out thy Spirit upon us. Grant us grace to look to thee, to look to the smitten Lamb of God. Help us this day to wait upon thee in a way that would be glorifying to thy great name. Leave us not to harden under these glorious things. Melt our hard and our stony heart. Guide us with thy counsel. Take away all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. We may conclude singing in Psalm 51 at verse 16. Verse 16 of Psalm 51, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it thee, nor wilt thou with burnt offering at all delighted be. A broken spirit is to God a pleasing sacrifice, a broken and a contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise. Show kindness unto good, O Lord, to Zion thine own hill. The walls of thy Jerusalem build up of thy goodwill. Then righteous offerings shall thee please, and offerings burnt which they, with whole burnt offerings and with calves, shall on thine altar lay. Psalm 51 at verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice. And grim vine, else would I give in thee, nor will thou with burnt offering. broken spirit is to God and blessings and grim vines and broken and a contrite heart. Lord, thou wilt not despise kindness and do good, O Lord, to Zion thine own hill, the walls of thy Jerusalem, build up on thy good will. Righteous offering shall thee please, and offerings burn which they will all burnt offerings and with come shall on thine altar leave. Evening service, the Lord willing, at 6:30. And the prayer meeting on Saturday evening at 7:30, the Lord willing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.